This is WGNS Action Line. Action Line. Talking with Rutherford County newsmakers for 78 years. Talking with Rutherford County newsmakers for 78 years. This is WGNS Action Line.
A conversation with Congressional U.S. Senator Marsha Blackburn.
And good morning to you.
With that conversation, here's Dr. Krause.
We are starting off this morning with a wonderful friend, a great representative of this state, a lady that brings tremendous commitment and dedication to the best of the people of Tennessee. Good morning, Senator Marsha Blackburn.
And good morning to you. I'm delighted to join you.
Well, it's always great to have you back. And let's talk about the first 100 days of President Donald Trump.
As I look back over this first 100 days and compare his actions to the campaign.
Sure.
And where he went during the campaign, the comments he made, I think you sum it up by saying promises made and promises kept. And that's what he has done, and he is working every single day. He's accomplishing so much for the American people. I think he's actually working at a quicker pace than any other president that we've seen. And of course, as we've all watched the American people respond, they like the fact that he has secured our southern border. He really did that on day one in that executive order. But people wanted to put an end to these open border policies, and certainly the president has done that. And the deportations of the criminal illegal aliens that's an action that a vast majority of the American people support. They also support the Laken and Riley Act, which was the first bill that he had signed. And that is a piece of legislation that many of us had worked on provisions in, that to give local law enforcement more power to apprehend, detain, and work with ICE to deport these criminal illegal aliens. So we thought that was a good move. When it comes to the economy, inflation is coming down, and investment in our country is increasing. In this first 100 days, we have seen $3 trillion of foreign investment coming into our country, private investment, private dollars that are investing in energy and chips, in manufacturing, advanced manufacturing, that is choosing to move onshore instead of being done in other countries. And energy is something that he is pushing forward. That is something important to us in our state. The president declared a national energy emergency. Of course, we all know you can't do economic development without energy. You can't run manufacturing without energy. And so that energy production, getting that up is, he's declared an emergency on that. You've got DOGE out there that is reducing what the federal government spends and bringing to account some of these agencies, programs that have outlived their usefulness. And indeed, they've already made $160 billion in spending restrictions. Something that I have worked on quite a bit is protecting women and girls in women's sports. And the president did an executive order. I was actually at the White House in February when he did this, and he banned men from women's sports. Those are all actions that he's taken and accomplishments that he has had during this first 100 days.
You know what my concern is, though, and being a political scientist all my life and a political junkie as I've always been, and I've looked back in history, I don't believe there's any president, including Franklin D. Roosevelt, that had more things going on in the first 100 days. I begin to wonder whether the American people can accept so much change in such a short period of time. It's almost like every day something new. It's unbelievable. So can the people, can the public accept and respond to so much change in such a small period of time?
Yeah, you know, Bill, that is one thing I thought, is his pace going to outpace the American people? But I will run into people when I'm out and about, and they'll say, look, we're not tired of winning.
Okay, or, good.
They'll say, when are you all going to do this? Or when are you taking up that? And when are we going to have the tax cuts permanent?
Sure.
We thought we could get that done quicker. So I think the American people on November 5th voted for change, and they want to see that change, and they're looking forward to it. They're watching it. I have found it truly fascinating that as the president is working at such a fast clip, they are absorbing it at a fast clip.
Great.
And they're looking at us and saying, well, why can't you all move forward with this or that, you know, working through the legislative process?
With all the misinformation, bad news, and so forth, please reconfirm, because you are a strong advocate of this, that Social Security and Medicare and all the related support services will remain intact.
Oh, absolutely. The president has said time and again that there are not going to be any cuts to the beneficiaries of Social Security. What he is doing, DOGE is doing, and Congress is doing, is trying to root out the waste, fraud, and abuse. Things like, we know there are 1.3 million illegal aliens in the country that somehow got a Social Security number and got on Medicare.
Wow.
When they are fraudulently on that program, what they are doing is taking benefits that should be going to enrollees. And we know that the Social Security Trust Fund Board has said that they would run through their reserves by the time we get to 2032-33, right along in there. So rooting out the waste, fraud, and abuse actually extends the Social Security fund.
Absolutely.
Also, you've got people that are, pardon me, reportedly 125 years old.
I hope you're not referring to me.
150, 160, 200 years old that are on the Social Security rolls. Now, Bill, if somebody is fraudulently receiving a check and cashing that check, they should be prosecuted. Those payments to that individual need to stop. That money needs to be recouped. There is no reason that these individuals should have access to those Social Security funds and those Medicare benefits. So cutting this out is an important thing to do. Also, utilizing technology and somewhat using AI to work through the process of delivering these benefits more seamlessly so that you're saving money on the administrative end, because those administrative costs are coming out of that fund.
You've been our congresswoman here. How many years were you in Congress representing Murfreesboro and Rutherford County? For a long time. How many years was that?
I was in the U.S. House for 16 years.
Wow. Eight terms.
Yeah. Yes. And thoroughly grateful for that opportunity to represent the people of the 7th Congressional District. And then, of course, serving in the Senate. This is my 7th year.
Boy, time flies.
And just, yes, it does. And so honored to be there and to be able to work with Tennesseans every single day and help them with solving problems and their engagement with the federal government and resolving issues that they have, and doing my part to work with our governor and our state legislative delegations, our mayors, our county commissions and city councils, and make Tennessee the very best place to live, to work, to rear a family.
Speaking of the governor and speaking of the legislature and speaking of Tennessee, might I ask, is that in your future?
We are seriously considering it. And we know that power is coming back to the state on so many issues that are important to us: health care, education, energy, regulation, benefits. And it is a time where we're going to see state governments reset how they do business. And Tennessee has been a well-governed, well-led, well-managed state. And we have the opportunity to be our nation's conservative leader. We have the opportunity to chart the path on how you deliver health care into communities, and a lot of rural communities that have lost their hospitals, and how you increase those access points, how you make certain that your state and your local school boards have the power and the authority to set those agendas and those curriculums. And as we are number one in jobs recruitment in this state, we should be number one in education for our children. Energy, we've got TVA. TVA should be the leader in nuclear energy. And the president wants a nuclear renaissance and an energy dominance. TVA has the opportunity to deliver on that. We hold the license for the only SMR out at Clinch River. We should move forward with that permitting, that grant, that application, and get going on this.
Senator Blackburn, it's always a wonderful personal and a professional pleasure to have you with us. And would you do me a huge favor? Next
sure.
time you see President Trump, would you give him our best wishes from WGNS and Rutherford County?
I would love to do that. It's always a pleasure to join you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye now.
Uh-huh. Hey, this is Dan with Music World and Drummers Den. Come in for your guitars, keyboards, drums. We have you covered. Lessons, we got that. Drums and every other instrument with strings or keys. Music World and Drummers Den, the one-stop shop where you have everything that you might need. Ukuleles, violins, things that they're not expecting to find just everywhere they go. Come see us at Music World and Drummers Den, 2762 South Church Street, right across from the golf course. Music World and Drummers Den.
And I would highly recommend Adam's Place. It's a place to enjoy life. It's comfortable. The settings are home-like and not sterile. Adam's Place is a place they're looking out for you. You feel at home, and I'm very fortunate there's a lot of people here I already knew. To get back to the food, I want to say one thing. The chef does a fabulous job here. I'm Larry Castelli. You know, I would highly recommend Adam's Place.
No middlemen. No mystery. Just fresh-picked produce. Straight from the Tennessee dirt to your dinner table.
Rutherford County Farmers Market.
Where our family feeds your family.
Rutherford County Farmers Market. There's something fresh every week. Tuesdays and Fridays, 7 to 1. On John R. Rice Boulevard.
In today's changing world, you need a financial planner that you're comfortable with. Rely on the bonds that you've built with trusted friends at Old National Bank on Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard here in the borough. And if you just moved here, visit us and enjoy warm, homemade cookies.
Honey, the cookies are ready.
Like Grandma used to make. Old National Bank. We're better together.
2230 Dr. MLK Jr. Boulevard. Old National Bank. Member FDIC.
This is WGNS Action Line. Action Line. Talking with Rutherford County newsmakers for 78 years. Talking with Rutherford County newsmakers for 78 years. This is a WGNS Action Line. Now, your host, Scott Walker.
Construction of new schools and the additions.
The
Rutherford County Schools. Here are highlights and a recap of school growth and new construction of schools.
Where do we stand on current enrollment at some of the schools that are undergoing these additions, and then where will they be in the future as far as how many students can go there?
With our newest school opening next year with Poplar Hill Elementary School, the last 3 years we have had so much growth, especially in our Stewart's Creek area. New families coming to Stewart's Creek Elementary, they have been going to different schools. We've provided transportation, but they've been attending Stewartsboro, and then that really became full capacity this current year. Those students who come in brand new to that area, they are now going to Browns Chapel Elementary. And so next year with the opening of Poplar Hill, you're going to see several schools that are going to be positively affected by that new opening. So there'll be more seats available at Browns Chapel, Stewart's Creek Elementary, Stewartsboro, really that entire area. You know, when you open one school, it is a rippling effect from that school out to all the surrounding schools, including Blackman Elementary School. We all know that the Blackman area is such a dense populated area. And so really several schools within a 5 mile radius are going to all be affected by the opening of Poplar Elementary.
And the new Poplar Middle School, is it going to be called Poplar Hill Middle School, or is there a different name there?
It is going to be Poplar Hill Middle as well.
Total student population at Poplar Hill Elementary, and then what's it going to be at the middle school?
Our capacity at the elementary school is around 1,000 students, and at the middle school, 1,200 students.
Now, James, looking back over the years, what was the student population at the average school in Rutherford County a number of years back, like let's say 10 years ago?
So when I started, and that was back in 2004, don't add up my age for me, please, but it's getting up there. But we had a total enrollment in the district of about 28,000. Your older elementary schools, your more legacy schools, they used to hold 500 to 800 students, but it was around the early 2000s that we started building schools that the elementary and middles held about 1,000 students. That's what they were designed for. And then the high schools were 1,800 to 2,000. We've been having to push those numbers up some because we just try to maximize capacity because of the enrollment. So now we are still about 1,000 for elementary schools when we build them. Middle schools are about 1,200. And then high schools are, depending on the school, can be 2,300. Some of them are capacity of 2,500. So it is increasing. There's also some talk, though, about because of land scarcity that we're going to have to look at a different structure moving forward down the road a little bit about building smaller schools again that fit into smaller spaces to help balance those enrollments too. But that's still being reviewed at this point.
If you were to move forward with building smaller schools at different locations, is that going to be a little tougher just because of the fact that you're going to have more locations for sites of schools as opposed to fewer?
Well, yes, and there's some operational costs, of course, because you have staples within the school that every school has to have. Like you have to have, of course, a principal, an assistant principal, your office staff, those kinds of things. So that's some of the factors that are being considered. But like we talked about earlier, the availability of large pieces of land are becoming more scarce. So we've got to look at some different ways of maximizing these pockets in the county, especially as our county expands out further south, of how we're going to accommodate that growth.
Do you ever foresee tearing down existing schools and building something new that's maybe taller, a four-story operation as opposed to a one or two?
Yeah, there's been some talk about that with some of our older schools. McFadden is mentioned sometimes about needing to be replaced because it's becoming so hard to maintain, because it's one of our oldest buildings. I think it was 1938 when it was constructed. So those kinds of schools potentially, but of course we've got to just balance that with making sure that we're adding seats too. So
we've tried to use the most of the buildings that we have had throughout the years. For example, Daniel McKee Alternative School, Smyrna West Alternative School. Those are two of some of our older buildings within the district, but we still want to utilize those. But then they are getting older as well, and so needing some renovation and rebuilding in some of those locations, that's another option that we're looking at as well. And then, as you know, with the newest additions at Smyrna High School, Oakland High School, Riverdale High School, and now Laverne High School, a couple years ago, we did an addition at Siegel High. So we're constantly, we've had Rockville Middle has already had an addition. And so also trying to utilize the property and land that we already have and build onto those schools when we can as well.
The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.